down from his glory, ever-living story. My God and Savior came, and Jesus was his name. Born in a manger, to his own a stranger, a man of sorrows, tears, and agony. Oh, how I love him, how I adore him, my breath, my sunshine, my all in all, the great Creator became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in him. What condescension, bringing us redemption, that in the dead of night not one faint hope in sight. God gracious, tender, laid aside his splendor, stooping to woo, to win, to save my soul. Oh, how I love him, how I adore him, my breath, my sunshine, my all in all, the great Creator became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in him. Amen. Taking a little break today from our messages through the book of Revelation. I've appreciated the positive comments about the messages so far. Perry Anderson will be speaking next week, and then we'll resume the first of the year in January. The book of Revelation. We'll be getting into what the scriptures term the Great Tribulation, when God's wrath is poured out upon this earth. And the good news right up front, so you don't get too discouraged, is that the church won't be here. The church will be caught away. It will be taken away. The church will not be here during the tribulation, but God's going to purge the earth. And when you read those chapters, it's pretty amazing what's going to happen. I appreciate your support last week for Gary Varvel. He's did a wonderful job and was a huge blessing to all of us here. And thank you so much for the warm welcome and reception that you gave him. Well, this is a time of year that this is a season for looking. And sometimes looking involves waiting. Christmas is approaching, especially as little kids. Little kids think, when's it ever going to be? Or it's never going to get here. It's like traveling. I remember one year we decided we had a station wagon. We were going to take our three boys down to Florida. long trip in a station wagon with three boys. About the time we got to Franklin, one of the boys said, "Are we there yet? You know, are we almost there?" I said, "Yeah, another 15 hours we'll be there." And it's just hard to wait. We have a character today that's we're going to talk about who did some amazing waiting. We don't know how many years, but I would assume at least 20 or more years. His name was Simeon. But before we do that, let me give you a little Christmas quiz. This is a multiple choice quiz. What was the name of the innkeeper when Mary and Joseph got to Bethlehem? Here's the choices. Joe Holiday, Conrad Hilton, Mark Marriott. Of course, there was no innkeeper mentioned in the Bible. We don't know. The scripture just simply says that there was no room in the inn. That's all it says. There's no mention of an innkeeper itself. All right, how about the name of the donkey that Mary rode from Nazareth clear down through Jerusalem and on another 6 miles down into Bethlehem? Was it Donkey Kong? My favorite would be Burro the Burrito. Or how about Bill Belichick? No, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have mentioned it. I'm not a Bill Belichick fan. So we know, of course, that, again, there's no mention of the fact that Mary rode a donkey. I mean, you know, we've seen the pictures over the years. We tend to add things to the story, and yet there are some parts of the story that we really don't give much attention to, and that's true with this man named Simeon. And if you have a Bible, you might want to turn with me to Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 32. I'm going to read this and comment on it and then just give us a little bit of a poetic license, if you will, to this story. As Simeon comes to the temple, he was an old man with a promise. We don't know how old he was, but we assume he was an elderly man. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. That's two good things. I hope people would say of me and of you, we are righteous, we do the right thing, we have right living, and we're devout, we're devoted. He was devoted to the Lord. He was devoted to going to the temple every single day to pray. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The word consolation means comfort. It comes from that same word. If you console somebody, you are comforting somebody. Israel needed to be comforted. Israel had been promised a Messiah, and he would be the one who would comfort Israel. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, if you read several of those verses, it just simply says, comfort ye my people. It's a part of Handel's Messiah. He uses those words right from the scripture. It even mentions the fact that there would be one preparing the way in the wilderness. Of course, that was John the Baptist, John the Baptizer. So he was a man, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the good news is, it says, and the Holy Spirit was on him. This man was so godly that God's Spirit came to him. Now, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, didn't appear often before Jesus was born and the church on the day of Pentecost began. But the Holy Spirit did act. He acted many times in the Old Testament. But here's a man who is so devout, so righteous, so special that God's Spirit speaks directly to him. And that's a good thing. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. Here's this promise. He was made a promise. This old man had a promise. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Now, he evidently was so confident in his faith that he wasn't afraid of that. Some of us would say, "Well, Lord, I hope I I never see the Messiah because then I'll die. But he was so devout, he was so righteous that I'm sure this was good news to him. And he was still eager, even though it meant his physical death. He was still excited to see the Lord's Messiah, the Lord's Christ. So then, it says, when the time, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And says then that he was moved by the Holy Spirit. He went to the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, and if you go back in Leviticus, it says that a child was to be dedicated. He was to be circumcised. A male child was to be circumcised on the eighth day. But then a woman would go and make an offering after her purification. And that was a 40-day period of purification after giving childbirth. So it says that when the parents brought in the child to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him into his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace." What great faith, what great comfort. I've said before, the greatest day of my life will be the day I die and get to go see the Lord. I hope you have that kind of faith. I believe that's exactly the kind of faith. His was probably much greater than mine. The kind of faith that would say that, that would mean that, that would pray that, "Lord, dismiss me. My life is over. I've seen your Messiah. I've seen Christ. You've kept your word. You've kept your promise. So dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel." It's interesting to note that most Jews didn't believe that the Messiah would come for anyone but the Jews, anyone but Israel. But we know, and this isn't the first place that it's talked about, it's talked about clear back in Isaiah as well, Gentiles are also included in the coming of the Christ, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, "This child's destined to cause the rising and the falling of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Then there is another person who's mentioned. I'm not going to talk about her today, but her name was Anna. And these two characters, these two people, devout people, people of great faith, these people were a part of the Christmas story, even though we normally don't think of them in that way. So Simeon was an old man with a promise. Holy Spirit told him he would not die until he saw the Messiah. The Messiah, the Messiah is the Hebrew word for the word we use for Christ. Christ is the Greek word for Messiah, the promised one. Simeon was looking for the Messiah. He was looking for the consolation of Israel, the comfort for Israel. And Simeon believed in God's promise. He believed, even though he had to wait, even though he'd been looking and looking and waiting and waiting, he believed God's promise. You know, how many of you like to wait? Nobody hardly, do we? I read an interesting statistic. It said the average person spends about 5 years of their life waiting in line. Seems like sometimes it's longer than that, doesn't it? 5 years waiting in line. 6 months waiting at stoplights. How many of you are patient waiting at a stoplight? Nah, no, nobody is. Waiting is not easy, But evidently, this man, this godly man, Simeon, he was willing to wait. He believed God's promise, and he was willing to wait. We sing that song, "Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared, and the soul felt its worth. Long lay the world." Great part of that, O Holy Night. Simeon was rewarded, and he was rewarded for his faith by seeing Jesus. He was able to glimpse Jesus. Now just imagine it just a little bit, if I could kind of reenact it just a little bit for you. Here's this older man, a godly man, and he's going to the temple as usual to pray, but on this particular day, there's sort of a special nudging of the Spirit. Go to the courts today. Go to the temple courts. This was a special feeling for him. And I can see him as he walks up the steps to the temple. And if he's like me, he's probably thinking, man, these steps are getting steeper all the time. And I don't know how long I can keep coming here looking for the Messiah. I don't know how many more days or however much time is required that I can keep coming to the temple. But he goes up the steps, and then he turns around, and he sees a young couple, and they're coming up the steps with him, and he thinks, "Well, they're just kids. That girl. She's just a teenager, but she's got a baby in her arms," and so he waits for them at the top of the steps, and they come up the steps, and he speaks to them kindly and gently, and asks their name. And Joseph says, "My name is Joseph, and this is my wife, Mary. And we have come here, as the law requires, to dedicate our child, our baby boy. It's been 40 days for the purification process to take place, and this is that day. And we've come, and we were offering these turtle doves." That meant that Mary and Joseph were poor, because otherwise they would have had to have offered a much larger animal, like a lamb. And so he's taken aback by this young couple. And again, I think the Holy Spirit's saying, pay attention now here, Simeon. This is what you've been waiting for. Don't take this for granted. This is it. Don't miss this. Don't miss it, Simeon. This is the Messiah. You are looking at the Lord's salvation. And so Simeon very gently asks, "Well, what's the baby's name?" And Mary says, "Jesus." But she said, "We didn't give him that name." Normally a child was given a name or named on the day of the circumcision for the male child. But she said, "You won't believe this, but we didn't name him. An angel named him, and not just any angel, but Gabriel, the archangel. And in fact, he appeared both to each one of us separately and told us what was going to happen, and that his name was to be Jesus." And maybe Simeon says, "Well, what's the significance of that name?" And Mary says, "Well, he told us that too. His name is Savior. He will save his people from their sins." And I can see Simeon just standing there in awe. And maybe he says, "Well, would you mind if I held this baby for a few moments? I'll be very careful, very careful." And he gently holds this baby in his arms, and he gazes at his face, and he lifts it up just a little bit and says, "Oh God, bless this child. Bless this child. My eyes have seen your salvation. Now you may dismiss me." I believe that we should be as eager for the second coming of Christ as Simeon and some others, perhaps Anna and many other devout people of God, Jewish people. were for the first coming of the Messiah. Don DeWelt was a professor at Ozark Christian College. Karen and I both had him for the book of Acts. I had him for a couple of the epistles, Paul's and Peter's epistles. He was a great, great man of God. He got up every morning about 4 o'clock and prayed for 2 hours. He started College Press, which was a Bible commentary company to produce Bible commentaries. He was he's one of the best men I ever knew, and just a great, great man of God. Karen actually worked for him as he was starting that College Press company. She'd go to her house every afternoon after school and help get that little company going. But the thing that has always stuck with me about Don DeWelt was the fact that on his desk and on the dash of his car and on the mirror in his bathroom and on his bulletin board, blackboards in his classrooms, he always had those two words, perhaps today, perhaps today. He believed that Jesus could come at any time. Perhaps today. God spared no expense in sending his son, his son Jesus, that baby boy to come. And the good news is that when he comes again, he won't be a baby, a helpless infant in a manger, dependent completely upon parents, other loved ones. He'll come, as we've been talking about in the book of Revelation, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He'll come as the one whose eyes are like lasers piercing. He will come as one whose voice is like the roar of the Niagara Falls. He will come not as a gentle man holding a lamb or a child. He'll come as Lord and Savior, King, Priest, God in the flesh. And we will all see him. Every knee, it says, we'll bow before him. Every tongue will confess his name. Are you looking for him? Are you ready for him? Maybe we should all imitate what Don DeWelt did and put some little signs around that just says, perhaps today, perhaps today. Some people say, well, you know, it's been a long time, and, you know, I don't know whether he's going to keep that promise or not. I think maybe old Simeon felt the same way. I'm sure he felt some days of maybe I misunderstood. Maybe I misread what the Spirit was saying to my heart. But I think that as we stop and think about the return of Christ, we know, and the book of Revelation has lots of signs. Matthew chapter 24 gives us a list of signs about things that will happen in the end times. We'll be looking at a lot of those through the book of Revelation. My favorite illustration about this, and I've told it here at least twice, maybe more, is about this little boy that spending the night with his grandparents, and they had an old grandfather clock, and this little boy's desire was to stay awake till midnight and hear the clock strike 12, but he kept falling asleep. He'd count, and never could stay awake, but finally, one night he managed to stay awake. He started counting with the clock as it chimed 12. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. The old clock sprung a spring, and the little boy got up and rushed into his grandparents' room and said, Grandpa, wake up. It's later than it's ever been before. That's the truth. That's the truth. It's later than it's ever been before. When will he come? We do not know. We need to be patient. We need to wait. Our faith will be rewarded. Someday, we will see Jesus. Not in a manger, but on the throne. Over 40 times the book of Revelation speaks of him on the throne. And every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess. As Revelation chapter 5 tells us, 10,000 times 10,000 angels and all the creatures that have ever been created will praise and worship Jesus. Are you looking for him? He's promised to return, perhaps today. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this reminder, for this example of this godly man, Simeon. It's the only time he's mentioned, Lord, in the Bible, so we really don't know much about him, but we know everything we need to know. He was devout. He was righteous. He was faithful. And we can find him. We can find Jesus just like Simeon found Jesus. Several ways that Simeon found him. He knew the scriptures. He knew the prophecies. He was a man of prayer, and that's the way we still find him today. We know the scriptures. We know the word of God, and we are people of prayer and faith. So, Father, bless us as we celebrate his birth and as we look for his return. In Jesus' name, amen. Our hymn of invitation and decision is The Savior is Waiting. If there's any decision you would make for Christ, we'd be thrilled to welcome you and have you come here to the front as we sing. Would you stand as we sing?
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him? Time after time, he has waited before, and now he is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to come in. If you'll take one step towards the Savior, my friend, you'll find his arms open wide. Receive him and all of your darkness will end. Within your heart he'll abide. Time after time he has waited before, and now he is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to come in.
Well, thank you all for coming today. Pray for those who are sick. I know we've got several folks who are. The Burtons are both sick, have been sick all week. He fell yesterday at Costco, and he's just been having a tough time here lately. And keep Marissa Hendrickson in your prayers, and Bill Cassidy, Miss Bill here this morning, and I know several are sick, Dave and Janet. There's a number of folks, so pray for the sick and shut in. There's a good list on the back of the bulletin, and you can always add to that, of course, but be sure and pray. Richard Otto Dietrich.
Hang on a minute.
Oh, no, wait. What is this again?
I also need Carol, Vicki, Scott, Sonny, Renee, Kathy, Cook, and Cotton. Cotton, just put the words up to the chorus that we're going to sing. Go ahead and put the words up. Yep. It comes that time of year that we greatly appreciate everyone that's up here. There's a few of them that's not here. just a small token of what we appreciate, what these folks do for us. Without all these, we wouldn't be able to put a service on.
And you too. It takes a lot of nerve to wear that suit. And he's got two of them. He's got a blue one, too. He tried to find me one, but didn't have one.
Didn't have the right size, or I'd have had him one.
Yeah.
And there's one in here for me, too, unfortunately.
Well, you deserve it.
But, yes, we greatly appreciate everyone up here. Of course, Dave's not here. He's down here every day checking stuff out. I mean, we just, without him, this church means a lot to this church for him to be here. And we've got, they're not here, but thanks to groundkeepers for keeping the grass mowed and all took care of. We just greatly appreciate everybody here. We thank you. Now we can let Dick say the benediction.
All right. Say a prayer, Dick.
Gracious Lord, we come to you in prayerful thanksgiving for the many, many blessings that you bestow upon us. We thank you for all these folks that were up front today, that their gift that they give to us every Sunday. I ask your blessing upon Shan and Karen as they travel. Give them a safe journey and a safe return trip home. Bless those that are hurting, Lord. Bless this congregation. Thank you for the many blessings. And it's in your Son, Jesus' name, we give thanks. Amen.
Amen. That could be a sermon.
We'll tell it on the mountain. Over the hills and everywhere, go tell it on the mountain, as Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere, go tell it on the mountain, that Jesus Christ is born. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Can't get that to go off.
Are we going to be here about 6 o'clock?
Oh, and I need to talk to you. Elaine, I've got the service set up.
Merry Christmas.
I need somebody to read scripture and pray in unity.
When are we going to do it? When are we going to do that part? Yeah, I know, but I mean, like, what time? You'll write down during the service?
Like this.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I'll just take a